So we are, I kind of say rewatching the British Baking Show.
Mm.
But what I don't think that we ever, we're on, we've just began season three. I don't think I've actually, like, I've seen parts of the seasons
right
over at Craig's house, but I don't think I've seen, like, the full start to finish at any point.
Hmm. I feel like we just talked about this, but who are the characters on season three? Is that Candace's season?
No, I don't recognize that name.
Is that Ruby's season?
No, Ruby was in season two.
Okay.
This is Paul.
Okay.
And, crap, who else is in there? Ian and Matt. I can't remember many of their names.
Hmm.
I couldn't tell you which contestants were which.
Say, none of them stand out to me unless... Is Ian a builder?
No. That guy was also in season two.
Okay. I enjoyed that guy. He was quite good.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm horrible with names.
Mrs. Samurai has been binging it the last couple of weeks, and I've sort of watched a couple episodes over her shoulder, and I have no idea who the guests are, but I've certainly enjoyed watching Noel Fielding and Sandy Koksvig host episodes.
Oh, yeah, they're the new hosts. Yeah.
It's just so weird to see him not doing either, you know, kooky stuff, wild stuff, and Mighty Boosh, or
right.
being his manic, crazy self on you know, any of the panel shows he's on.
Sure.
Old Man for the Win, by the way. I'm on that.
Nice. Sartet, bring it home.
Yeah, I can't remember many of the people. Like, actually, the
Natalia
problem...
Natalia? Or Natalie? Or, man, I can't remember her name.
There's a Nadia?
Nadia! That's it! She's great!
Yeah.
She's got exciting flavors in all of her stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. There's something very cool about it. Because you have these, you know, professionals giving challenges and...
Right.
And they're like, you're going to make one of these. And everybody's like, I've never heard of that.
I do like the fact that it's so low-key and so relaxed. And there's no artificial drama. There's no
right.
trying to get people to hate each other. No,
it's just making and people enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
And Mary Berry drinking booze. Yeah, I love that as well.
Yeah.
That, and sometimes I like them, I will see... one of the, what's the technical challenge item that I've never heard of before?
Right.
And it'll become like one of my life pursuits. Like one of the seasons, I think it was season one or two, they made a shitstort. It was like a 20-layer cake covered in ganache.
Right.
I was like, I have to have that in my mouth immediately.
It was a what now?
It's German. I believe it's called a Schitztort.
Ah,
and
okay.
They all chuckled about it because it's funny.
Right, right. Because
but it's
yeah.
it's like
yeah, Sluggo. I thought is do we already have to bleep somebody?
No intentional bleep. No bleeping. It was like a I can't remember how it had an obscene number of layers.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. I was real excited. But all right, let's. Let me find my script, and then we'll get going.
Let's go! Okay.
All right. Nope. Ah, there it is. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 313th installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. This week, we are Chaos 72 and Sneaky Beat 15. That's Ray, and I'm Ian, and we are the founders of the Puzzle Warriors Alliance. And today, we have the Eric Singer of the Puzzle Warriors 3, UNC Samurai.
Well, that's certainly better than being the Brian Singer.
I don't immediately know who that is, but I was close to making you the Vinny Vincent of the Puzzle Warriors 3, but I thought Craig was more of a Peter Criss kind of guy.
That's a bit rough, being the Vinny Vincent of the group. That's he's definitely the one that didn't want to take off the makeup.
So this is the week of 10/20 through 10/27. Oh, wow. I forgot that we trimmed this. So, we're going to start with the 5-day 4-star crash of the Titans. So, right now, Quake is battling Sue. It's gone well. It went well for me, so it's gone well for you two guys. She comes with matching colors and AoE, so even though Sue is very good, Quake is very better.
Yeah, I was a little worried for a bit because she kept getting all the matches and I wasn't getting any, but sure. Then I finally stocked up on green and was able to... Yeah,
it can definitely fall that way. And yeah. Not only does she have an AoE to get through that, she's got her resonance frequencies where she can target the invisibility tiles.
Yeah. Some folks on the subreddit were complaining because they were like, this is a terrible matchup for her. You know, Sue goes invisible. You know, it's hard to beat. And I'm like, this is one of the best designed 1v1 crashes because
it really is.
Yeah. Like everyone has the perfect counter to everyone else's abilities.
Yeah, very much so. And then later in the week, I think you will find the Iron Fist, Danny Rand, fighting, I'm not sure, some mid-90s hip-hop dancers?
No, it's the Electric Slide video.
Oh!
He fights 4-star Electra.
That makes sense. I mean, that doesn't necessarily make sense, but I get it. As soon as you explained what I was looking at, fantastic. So, that'll probably go well. I have him at 3-3-5. I feel like 5's what you need. I got a puncher's chance.
I would say definitely. I have no idea what's going on with Craig's build, but... it's a Craig build.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
Correct. One of the many fine Craig builds. Although, I was the one who deviates on the Quake build because...
Well, no, you have Quake built correctly
for
1v1 because the yellow AoE doesn't...
Oh, for
1v1?
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yellow is useless, but I don't know. I understand the immense value of her yellow. However, I felt like long ago... We all as a community agreed that we don't 5 the abilities that require the opponent to do something for them to be useful.
Correct.
Generally, that's true. However, when I choose Quake, it's because I want to reduce AoE damage.
When I choose her, it's because I need to target special tiles.
I get that.
But that's what champing and moving your powers around are for.
Right. Absolutely. Very flexible. So, let's see what we have. We've got some story events coming up, I believe, right now. We're halfway through the Deadpool versus MPQ. You can still get some Black Bolt and Cape Pride out of that. Starting Thursday, the 21st, you will get a Meet Rocket and Groot, where you can get some Shang-Chi and Gwenpool out of that one.
Nice.
And then also tomorrow, the new Puzzle Gauntlet drops. And introducing new character drops with new character shards. And if I read correctly, I believe Puzzle Gauntlet gets you the... What do you call those guys that defend Wakanda? They're all ladies and they're excellent.
The Dora Milaje?
Yeah, them. I think you get one of them for doing the Puzzle Gauntlet.
Oh, okay.
Again, that's just hearsay. I didn't actually look that up.
No, that is correct. And they can only be attached to a Black Panther character, so they're nice. They're a little bit limited in scope, but if you don't have one, this is the absolute perfect event for you.
Sure.
And the last Puzzle Gauntlet was so much fun. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Right. Right. They've really... I agree. I feel like that's been a really excellent addition to the game. In PvP, we were between seasons, so we are wrapping up with Divine Champions. That had some Archangel Shards and Yondus lying around. Nefarious Foes is also happening. Beta Ray Bill and Coulson come out of that one. Then Thursday the 21st, when the new season kicks off, you will start with Avenging Angel, and you will be able to get new character shards and Agent Venom out of that one. The new Shield Simulator will start, and then later on the 24th, the PvP for the new character will kick off, and you can get some Black Bolt shards with America coming out of that. So, I'll get straight into that since we very boringly teased that. And for anybody who is listening and who is worried that they are not going to get to hear me blunder through the boosted characters segment, good news! There's a new character, and I'm about to try to read you powers that I don't understand, and some are even brand new. So, half of none turns out to be a 5-star Gamora.
Still don't get that clue, but okay.
She is, so when Thanos kills things, he's supposed to leave half. he killed all of her people. She's the last one, so she's the half of none, I think, is where they were going with that.
Well, that was better than my guess of the gun nuns.
Well, I mean, at least that's an explanation.
I think that's where I went with that. But
now that you look at it from the rearview mirror, it is a decent clue. It's not a Craig level clue, so
it's no kamikaze, but that's okay. All right, let's see what she's up to. She's got red abilities, black abilities, and yellow abilities. Her black ability costs 6 black AP. It is called Relentless Assassin. She deals damage. Oh no, I'm not here. I've already skipped to the confusing one. Sorry. I'm just gonna. Okay. We're gonna ride with it.
Okay.
We're gonna ride with it because I'm already here. So she targets a character. She deals damage to that character and creates a 2-turn black countdown tile targeting that character. The passive component of this: each time that targeted character takes damage, increase the timer on the countdown tile by 1. If the targeted character fires a power while the countdown tile has at least 10 turns,
wow,
Gamora deals damage to that character and the tile is removed. Now, I don't see anything in this description that tells me that there can only be one of those type of tiles out at any given time, so I don't know if it can stack or not. And again, it starts off doing, 2,000 direct damage and then 4,000 bonus damage. But then at max level, you're doing 7,500 direct damage and a potential for 30,000 bonus damage, which seems like a bit.
Yeah.
The other important part about this description is,
yes,
nowhere does it say fortified countdown tile until you get to 5 covers. So whatever arrangement this character is going to get, I'm pretty sure it's going to have to involve 5 black. Because if you leave a countdown unfortified, there are so many ways of taking out special tiles or right. stealing special right. tiles or kitty overriding them. You really need that as much protection for those tiles as right. you can get.
Yes, at level 5, it becomes a 4-turn fortified countdown tile. And you're right, that is it was just a 2-turn black countdown tile before. 4, yeah, 5, yeah, that's juicy.
I don't think I've ever seen that last note on a power
Neither
before.
Neither have I, that's why I'm excited about it. The final asterisk says, this ability is undergoing a final balance pass. Details may change.
Interesting.
Yeah, so they're going somewhere new-ish with Relentless Assassin. All right, well, I'm out of order, so I'm going to keep going out of order. Her yellow ability, Pulse Disruption, 7 yellow AP. She deals some direct damage to the target and creates a 3-turn yellow repeater tile that stuns a random enemy for 1 turn while it is active. While this tile is on the board, friendly damage cannot be reduced.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too.
That's going to require several different rulings. Like that's, does reduce, does it mean projectiles? Does it mean special abilities? Something is going to slip through the cracks, but I get what they're saying.
Sure. I also get what they're going for. And that, the direct damage from it increases all the way up through level 4, where it's doing about 10,000 damage. And at level 5, that 3-turn tile becomes a 2-turn repeater tile, making the stun element of this a little more useful.
Sure.
Now let's hop up to the red, Bladed Finesse. She does AoE, and then plus separate blows of equivalent damage to the target for each enemy downed this mission to a maximum of 3. So at the max level, she's doing 10,000 points of AoE, and then 10,000 extra per downed enemy. So it's kind of got that Valkyrie Sabretooth multiple attack thing going on, but in a different capacity.
Yeah, I mean, I clearly better on like a wave fight kind of thing, but I mean, sure. max of 3. I don't know. That's odd. It's a different twist.
Yeah, I think there are some slightly new mechanics in play for all of these.
The damage on red, if you're with a little bit of luck and timing, let's say you down one person in their 3-person team, all of a sudden, for 9 red, you're dealing 21,000 damage with a champ level 5 red. That's not a terrible... It's comparable to a couple of other 5 stars. It sounds good. Right now, I would still probably say 355. It really does depend on where Relentless Assassin ends up, because anytime you hear details may change, we're still looking at the balance of this character. You know, all the speculation, all the stuff online and Discord and subreddit, everyone starts going, maybe I've seen this movie before. I don't like how it ends, but, you know, we'll see. Right. As written, this character has some really good potential. I don't know if it's going to be good enough to upset the 3 or 4 metas that are going on right now in PvP, but she does look like she could be really fun.
Right, I agree. And I agree with the 355, because I feel like Pulse Disruption and Relentless Assassin make really important jumps at level 5.
Yeah, definitely.
And red does not.
If I were fighting a survival node, like in like at the end of Web Wonder or something like that in FCL 10, where I knew I was not going to be facing as many active NPC active enemies as just more goons, I might go 5 red, 3 yellow, but yeah, 355 right. looks to be sort of the default arrangement.
I agree. And again, once it becomes more clear what friendly damage cannot be reduced means, I think she sounds like she's got some exciting potential.
Agreed.
I wonder what happens if Colossus fastball specials her and she fires her Pulse Disruption.
I'd rather not know.
I do want to mention, I mean, mainly for Joe's benefit, but Craig did say that, because of course he's listening from his hotel room in Washington, he did say, you know, if you want to get those black tiles to get up and count, Bagman's your perfect go-to.
I suppose if you want to stick Bagman on a 5-star team, I support you.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's coming up in the synergy segment.
People start asking for Bagman team-ups in Alliance chat.
How do I get this exciting new character, you ask?
Well, do tell us.
It sure looks like tomorrow her cover store will open up, along with a Gamora Limited Vault, Slash and Burn Legendary Store also happening tomorrow. And then she's a placement reward in Meet Rocket and Groot, introducing Gamora. Is coming, so that'll be, you know, another placement reward. And then Fight for Wakanda, she will become a progression reward, and that starts on the 24th. In PvP, Avenging Angel will get you some Gamora shards as a placement reward, and her very own The Jade Assassin will be coming out on the 24th in PvP.
They couldn't find a name with a pun. They just went with Jade Assassin. I'm a little disappointed in their writers.
I don't fault you for that.
They've been really good.
Again, I can't expect them to be on all of the time.
Right.
But they have hammered out some choice puns in their day. So I will let Jade Assassin slide, but just this once. So that's it. The new 5-star character, Gamora, the deadliest woman. Also in the news. I don't know why or how, but there seems to be a new 4-star teaser that I stumbled across. And if it's accurate, Ray, are you sitting down?
I am, indeed.
All right. The new 4-star teaser is Unisoul, which seems pretty straightforward to me, but I'm curious what you're thinking as well.
Just heard it just now. I don't know. I have no idea. And it's Unisoul, Soul.
Yes. Uni-Soul.
Something to do with the sun? I have no idea.
You would think. However, as we've explored on this show in previous episodes, recent episodes at that, for us Jean-Claude Van Damme diehards, we know that that's the abbreviation for Universal Soldier. Yes, the nonstop action franchise that he made popular. So there you go, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Newest four-star.
Well, you know what You know what other movie series Jean-Claude Van Damme was famously in?
Time Cop?
The Kickboxer series.
Yeah.
And remember... Oh! And in the 2016 reboot of Kickboxer, he was in that with Georges St-Pierre. This is 4-star Bat Rock.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah, other than that, I'm...
Unless it's a like a soul, maybe it's sun, maybe it's a forced yeah, conversion maybe, of Sentry.
Like that's what I thought. I thought uni soul, then I thought one sun, and I was like, is this some sort of like Superman, the last son of Krypton crossover? Superman confirmed at a 4-star. That's hurtful. I don't know. I'm excited to discover more as the weeks grind on. That's it for the news. Ray, do you have any local news or any news of your own? Or Samurai, do you have any non-local news?
Don't believe I do, no.
We've got our Whirligig Festival in town coming up the first weekend in November. Baseball Museum's going to have the booth out there showing off the traveling exhibit. Going to be a whole lot of crazy foods. And, you know, outdoor events are not the worst thing in the world right now. So
sure.
That's about it for me.
Does kind of remind me that, you know, I think Penn State's doing pretty good at the whole COVID situation.
Oh, wow.
The numbers are way down. However, the numbers of something else are way up. They're calling it the PS flu. Yeah, there's a flu going around that apparently, like, ravaging the student population. But, hey, COVID numbers are staying down somehow.
Yeah, that's
so
cool. You guys are gross.
They're gross in their own special way. But I get, you know, they've got, like, an 86, 87% vaccination rate. So, you know, good on them.
Yeah, that's a pretty high percentage. All right. The top three list is on hiatus as, unfortunately, you know, things have swung back in the opposite direction when you all got everything you hoped for an all Craig show the other week. Now you're getting a Craig free show. So, you know, that has to happen to keep the universe in balance. So I will just go to the part where I don't remember what trivia I asked you last week. And I look through my notes and I hope I stumble across something familiar. So let's shoot it over to the Quizmaster of 78, me. Any chance that I asked you about Tony Stark?
Oh, yeah, the daughter's name, right?
Yeah. Turns out her name is Morgan.
Oh, okay.
So there you go. Morgan Stark, Tony's daughter. This week, an equally family-friendly question. One of the most prolific of the Avengers, that is Hawkeye, has how many children? How many children does Cliff have? Or Clint Barton, if you are actually going with Hawkeye and you are not a longtime listener of this show.
Pre or post snap?
Oh!
Savage.
That is.
Point Alpha Team.
That's cold. Whichever number is higher, pick that one. That one sounds cheerier.
Okay. That sounds like a good approach.
I'll give you the answer pre and post snap next week. Right now, I only have listener comments with Ray, brought to you by Willie Lumpkin.
All right. So, really quiet over on the D3 forums this week. However, over on Reddit, we got a pre and post listening to the podcast comments from Dances with Weevils, who I haven't heard from for a little while. We'll start there. I'm trying to copy a link here and see if I can get it over there. So he says, I haven't listened to the episode yet, but I came across the below, and it's an image which I will share in Discord, in my basement, and I thought you might find it interesting. It is an image of Jihad cards still in the wrappers.
Where's this from?
Dances with Weevils.
Oh, Weevils! Why aren't those mine?
And of course, this is, you know, this happens when Craig isn't here, so he can't comment on.
I was going to say, is Dances with Weevils in Craig's basement?
No, because that doesn't look like the collection I gave Craig.
No, and his was already extensive, and I'm sure he has some of these, but you know, most of his are probably a mix of these and when they changed the name appropriately to V-Test instead of Jihad.
Yeah.
But still, Dances with Weevils. That is fantastic.
Those are sealed starters. Those are
they are sealed starters and sealed boosters and some looks like I assume those are decks in those cases. I don't know why else he would separate them like that. But Christmas is right around the corner. If you're wondering what to get this guy, get him that stuff.
He did comment on him. Really great game for three or more people. It's a shame it didn't catch on.
Yeah, I fully agree. It was a fantastic game. But I agree with you. Unfortunately, the type of people who play collectible card games don't often have a huge number of friends, so the fact that it didn't have a dueling mechanism made it less popular, in my opinion.
Sure. So he also said, okay, later on, having listened to the episode, I don't see how Craig has so many non-champed 4-stars. If you just play for PvE progression in SL10, you can't help but get enough covers to champ the new 4-stars. And, yeah, generally that's true, but I think you've overestimated how much Craig plays those PvEs, so...
That's true.
I think that's it. All right, so here's where we move on, and this is a post from Samurai. However, I am going to read it, and then, okay. You know, if you have any questions, we can just fill you in here. So, the North Carolina State Fair and its wild culinary experiments are upon us. Which means that it's time for another round of or
dope
with Ian. All right. So number one, how many do we have here? I think we have six.
We have six
culinary tryouts. So number one, Carolina Cowboy Roll by Fat Boys Barbecue. It's inspired by egg rolls. This one is filled with mac and cheese and smoked beef brisket and then topped with a bit of sweet and tangy barbecue sauce.
I heard what you said, but just for my own culinary lust, I'd like you to read again what's in this deep fried deliciousness.
All right. So, and Samurai is posting the image to Discord. It is inspired by egg rolls. It is filled with mac and cheese and smoked beef brisket and then topped with a bit of sweet and tangy barbecue sauce.
Yes, that's where I was going with that, Sluggo. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah, if this is our own version of what the kids are calling these days, smash or pass, definitely smash. That thing looks dope.
All right.
I would probably eat that with a side of that.
All right, one dope. That's a good number. That's a good thing to start on.
All right. Yeah.
So, number two is La Serena, the Crazy Southerner by Arepa Loca. Samurai's note, the arepa is an unleavened piece of cornmeal bread stuffed with whatever filling you want. It was created by the indigenous people of Colombia, Venezuela, and Panama. This version is filled with pulled pork, topped with caramelized sweet plantains and guacamole sauce, all held together by a crisp and airy corn and cheese arepa.
Oh, I would pass on the other thing to eat this thing. That's how good that looks.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, this is a definitely dope.
I need to read these in advance because I thought it was caramel and it's caramelized. It's very different pronunciation.
I mean, man, like, just keep going. It's only going to make me sadder if this list continues being awesome.
Okay. Number three, Shrimp and Grits on a Stick by Izelle's Something Good. I realize most people aren't fond of grits, and adding seafood rules out a lot of more people, but this one piqued my interest. There are balls of shrimp and grits fried like hush puppies and put on a stick.
Mm. So I paused for just a second because I love shrimp and grits so much, and I was like, I don't know how I would, and then I was like, you're a fool. You're going to eat that immediately. The totally dope.
Yeah, see, this is the first one I'm going to... I mean, I would probably try it, but I am not a fan of grits, so...
Mm. Yeah, I prefer southern-style salt and butter to northern-style, like, what, milk and sugar? I don't know what they put on them up here. It's gross.
I don't know. I've only tried that southern style.
And,
Wait, they put milk on grits up north?
Yeah. Yeah, we're super gross around these parts.
I was going to say, y'all do that. You call soft drinks pop. Y'all have some weird habits up there.
Well, it's 50-50. I'm pro pop, and you know, that's about it. But and then you're here today, so that helps balance it out. You hanging out with you is like me not needing to watch. I can't even remember what that show is that my wife watches on HGTV. What's the show that replaced the Gaineses?
I haven't watched HGTV in 15 years.
It's some huge dude and his wife Erin. They flip houses, or they make people's houses better.
Hmm.
Anyway, that show, much like spending time with you. Yes, hometown. I get more y'alls in that 30 minutes than I do in my whole week.
All right, number
next
four.
Next food. Keep these coming. These all look really awesome.
This one, just the title got me. Strawberry Cheesecake Smoothie by Tropical Delights. It's somewhere between a strawberry milkshake and the smoothie, served with a tiny umbrella and topped with a little block of cheesecake.
Mmm, you won me back at umbrella.
That's the one piece I don't care about.
Oh, see, that part looks fun. It's a little bamboo umbrella. Now I'm having fun. I'm more of a chocolate dessert kind of guy. I don't care for strawberry, but that looks like a well-crafted item, and I'm proud of them for making something that looks that yummy.
Yeah, cheesecake and smoothie. Yeah, I'm all over that. Yeah. All right, number five, alcohol-infused popcorn by Just Popping Around.
Hard pass.
It's flavored popcorn, but with flavors like Jack Daniel's caramel, Ciroc vanilla. Is that how you pronounce that?
I think so, yeah.
And Jose Cuervo berry, which is a bright blue.
I love popcorn, but definitely a pass. I not only is my booze intake sadly at an all-time low, I've never consumed booze but going like, ooh, I wish more things tasted like this.
I can
buy that. That's a no thank you.
So there we go. Our first actual just pass of the
All right. Number six. Bacon Bourbon Chicken by Bubba's Bacon. Unbreaded chicken tenders wrapped in bacon and grilled, then slathered in a bourbon barbecue sauce.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, I'm on the fence, another pass, but not because of what they're offering, because the chicken is wrapped in bacon. And when I eat chicken, I'm already unnecessarily fearful that it's underdone. I feel like the bacon wrapping can skew the cooking time of the chicken, and I would be too anxious about getting an undercooked piece of chicken. I would not eat that.
It's actually kind of, it's easy. The chicken, you wrap it in bacon, you put it in the oven for, I think, 35 minutes at 425, and you can, once you tell that the bacon is starting to crisp up, that's when you know everything's fully cooked.
Sure.
I've made something similar before, not with their sauce, but I've made bacon-wrapped chicken tenders, and it works fine.
Okay.
See, I'm solidly in the field of too many things. That people try and put bacon on too many things. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yep, that fad needs to pump the brakes. I'm with you, Ray.
Yeah.
Four out of six isn't bad. And the first four were so... The first three were like, top-tier excellent. Like, it made me sad that, you know, when I go to outdoor fairs, like, you know, it's just the same... Like, no one, there's no fairs that I can go to around here that you know, would push the envelope with things like shrimp and grits in a hush puppy, or that smoked brisket mac and cheese in an egg roll, or even this, you know, authentic-looking South American dish, which sounds amazing. Like, we just have the same, you know, boring, no-thought Pennsylvania hillbilly food that's just like, man, it's fine, but... Yeah, the first three were so good, I felt depressed about my own life, and then the last two kind of helped even me out emotionally.
I'm a little surprised at y'all sort of not being up for number six. That sounded to me like one of the simplest ones, one of the more straightforward ones. And well,
I think it might be because we see like a barbecue truck at every like event, and it's just kind of tired.
Yeah, I don't know. It really
Pennsylvania
didn't
barbecue
cross
is...
off any notes for me. Yeah, and then, like I said, unfortunately with the popcorn, like, they do that around here, but with whoopie pies, of course, because that's what we eat around here for whatever reason. Yeah, the alcohol-flavored whoopie pies are big thumbs down.
Are they actually...
Yeah, that was exciting.
Boozy, or are they just alcohol-flavored?
I think they're boozy.
Okay. These are apparently just flavored, so, like, you get a little bit of taste of Jack Daniel's in with the caramel on the popcorn.
Interesting.
I feel like it's an even harder pass for that.
I'm not 100% certain. I think the State Fair, and it's weird because I've been almost every year since I was old enough to walk, but I don't remember them allowing alcohol sales at the State Fair.
Sure, that seems logical. I don't know. It looks like there's several exciting options. I hope they work out. I would go multiple days to get multiple of these offerings, and hopefully the baseball museum attracts wealthy new patrons.
So I do want to throw in the comment from Brawny216, who said that he was looking at looking through this when trying to decide if he wanted to go this year, and he said there were a lot more than previous years. So I don't know. Apparently, you and Bronny216 have different different tastes. But he also did say that he was surprised that Samurai left off the lobster dogs.
Yeah, there was both lobster tail on a stick and lobster on a hot dog bun, and I kind of left those off because these sounded more interesting, more exotic. The list that we were working off of, the News Observer put out like 24 new foods that were coming, and I just sort of picked through the list going, this sounds interesting. This sounds like it would, you know, it would get some sort of reaction from, like you said, Ian, there's any number of things you could do with, you know, simple, straightforward things with barbecue and whatnot. But I was looking for the stuff that sort of really stood out and was something you don't see every day.
I think you were successful. Yeah. Lobster on a hot dog bun. I mean, that's standard lobster roll.
Right.
That is when someone sells a world famous lobster roll. It's
that's what you get.
Know, chunky lobster meat on a deliciously toasted hot dog bun.
Yeah.
So that's not at all exciting. It's yummy. But you're right. These I enjoyed this list. That was a fun game of dope or
All right, well, that's all we got. That's what was in the listener bag. So, hey, thanks, Willie.
Great. I have one. It's not a listener comment, but it was some comments that I saw earlier when I was gathering up information to write an outline for the show. Because I have gotten to know people from this show, I sometimes, like, forget that they're, I don't want to say real people or that they do other things or exist, but I was, you know, on the D3 forums and I'm scrolling down to see if there's anything I missed. And I was like, oh, why is this person using Donkey Teeth's little Discord icon? And I was like, oh, because it's Donkey Teeth. And it went a little further and I was like, why is that person, you know, calling themselves UNC Samurai? And I was like, oh, wait, he does exist outside this show. Not far outside, but still, it was weird to me. I'm slowing down. My brain's slowing down. But let's get to our next world famous segment. Brought to you by its true author, UNC Samurai. So, I guess once again, I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want to pump you up.
Somebody got a clap.
Did you hear his clap?
I heard a clap.
I heard his clap.
Okay.
I clapped, but I heard his clap. I was, we're heading in the right direction.
Well, there will be two in post, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, clap away.
All right, so, everyone have fun with the boosted list the last couple weeks?
Yeah, I think so. They were all a bunch of fun anniversary characters.
So now that you've asked, the last week was ridiculous. Apocalypse and Okoye both being boosted at the same time, that's just cheating. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was everything in PvP was either I-Hulk and Okoye or Apocalypse and 5-star Deadpool. As Slogo just said, yeah, this week, welcome to the week of the hangover after the really fun party.
Right.
The 3-stars aren't so bad. You've got Captain America, his little red shield that you lay down and wait for it to return. That's going to deal some more damage. His yellow, if you're really willing to pay the 19 yellow to do that, you know, he'll put out some stronger projectiles. I really wish they would rebalance that power. That's a relic from way back when powers used to be so expensive, and desperately needs fixing. Anyway, 3-star Dakin, his self-healing's going to be stronger, the strike tiles he puts out are going to be stronger, his chemical reaction, the damage is going to be a little bit better, but for folks in the 3-star tier, he's going to be an amazing tank this week. 3-star Star-Lord. I hate to say it, but, you know, I was way past the 3-star tier when he came out, so just like Ian, I have trouble remembering exactly what he does. His yellow is going to possibly give his team a little bit bigger burst heal of health. I don't think his purple, his something bad steals tiles or steals AP, but there's no change in value, so that's not going to be necessarily different. He is going to deal more damage with his green when he throws the Milano at you and it destroys, you know, rows of tiles. The Hulk, always good for 3-star tier when he's boosted, because that means he's going to match more colors, which means he's always out in front, which means it's more likely that he's going to take damage, which triggers his anger, which means more green tiles, which means he does a little more damage with his thunderous clap. And of course, his red smash is going to do a little bit more damage. In the 4-star tier, you've got Anti-Venom, or Anti-Venom, or, you know, whatever, because, you know, we really need more Venoms in this game. His aggressive antibodies are going to give bigger burst heal for the team. His adaptive clothing repeater is going to deal more damage once it wipes out all the enemy special tiles. His precision purge is going to deal a bigger burst of health to his chosen teammate. He's sort of a poor man's tank in the 4-star tier, but there are so many better tanks. But this is where we get to the meat of the boosted 4-star tier. We got Cyclops. His glue is going to deal more damage. His raid is going to deal a lot more damage. So he is going to be half of everything you want in the 4-star tier boosted. Also, Nightcrawler. You know, Banff isn't going to do anything different by itself. Is on guard, is everywhere at once. His, the red and the blue are going to deal more damage, but they're okay. But let's be honest, you use him for the cascades, and we'll have a couple of things to talk about him at the end of this segment. Spider-Gwen is boosted. Her teenage kicks, it's not going to do anything different because that's mostly about stunning and throwing out web tiles. Her fairy bomb is going to deal a lot more damage. You do have to build a web tile team around her to make use of it, but she's going to be the only one boosted. It's nice, though, because her kick out the jams is going to have a bigger burst heal for the team when matching web tiles, so she'll help keep them alive. But the crux of it is getting web tiles on the board, getting that cherry bomb cost down to 6 so that you can throw out those red globs of damage. Super Skrull is boosted.
Enough said.
Yeah, I mean, you pick whatever blue power copycatting the Fantastic Four that you want. He'll do a little more damage, or whatever special tile he makes. You know, they're going to be stronger. His force multiplier is going to deal a little more damage when he blows up that block of tiles. And his sudden but inevitable betrayal is going to steal some more health from the enemies. And if he happens to steal some strike attack projectiles, it buffs them, so that buff is going to get a little bit stronger. Now we go on.
I would like to know if anybody uses Super Skrull just because he's boosted. I'm curious if anybody is going to use him.
I mean, I haven't been at the point where I've needed to pick, and I've had slim pickings of the 4-star tier in so long. But again, who knows what people's rosters look like in the 3-to-4-star tier transition. Sure. Sometimes you need that particular 4-star because that's the one you have and that helps you punch above your weight, or it helps you, because you've got that particular one boosted, it helps you clear the PvE at your SCL a little faster. You know, you gotta work with what you got, and, you know, Skrull is low tier, but he at least does things, and there are some 4-stars that either just don't do anything or don't work well with anybody, or in a couple of cases their powers actively work against each other.
Sure.
So, you know, if somebody's in a situation where that's their best covered and highest level 4-star and they're trying to climb out of the 3-star tier, you could do a little worse. You know, if that's who you're working with, you know, you've at least got Captain America and Dak and Loki and the Hulk to help you out. But shall I go on to the 5-star tier?
Yeah.
Almost. That reminded me. You were correct. The my 5-1-2 Taskmaster totally got the job done. No problem.
Did it?
Yes. Yep, it turns out that 5 is plenty of fiddle faddle, along with any amount of doing what Peggy says and Moon Silver Blades was able to chop up Cap.
Nice.
With little to no effort.
Yeah, they're... All of the limited Crash of the Titans, like Dino, Spider-Ham, Taskmaster, Howard the Duck, they undercover the 3-star or 4-star that you fight against. Like, Squirrel Girl is deliberately underleveled and undercovered so that Dino, you know, even a meager Dino has a chance of it. But yeah, like,
nice.
5 red, you said it was pretty easy.
It was very successful.
Yeah, the limited ones are designed for that because, you know, not everybody has all the covers, and you at least want to give them a fighting chance. So it's not sure. Like the X-Force Wolverine versus 3-star Cyclops, where you've got to have him covered to have a chance at it, because that was that one was oof. That was, I think, the very first one, and that one, it took me a while on that one. Of course, I didn't have a champ at the time. Anyway,
yeah.
Back to the five-star tier. Electro, she just rotated out, and here she is on the boosted list. So, if you managed to get her champed, well, first of all, congratulations on having that much CP to burn, but her volts, bolts, and jolts, those little countdowns that, you know, when they go off, they'll do more damage in addition to destroying the tiles above them. Her love of villainy is going to deal more damage, and her free of charge is going to put a bigger strike tile on the bottom row, and her passive is going to provide a much stronger enemy AoE nerf. And, you know, when she's boosted, you think Quake's AoE reduction is good. Hers, that's probably her best asset, is that AoE reduction. Let's see, we've got Killmonger, Repatriation. When the enemy matches a critical, if they don't have red AP that you can steal, Repatriation will deal a lot more damage to them. Extreme Prejudice, it's got three or four parts to it, but it's just going to deal more damage. And then Decisive Strike is going to deal more damage based on the number of trap tiles you have on the board. So he's going to, you know, more damage. He's probably your best bet out of this set, although... Yeah. You can make an argument for, well, not Magneto, but Ronan, but we'll do Magneto first. Speaking of characters that have powers that deliberately contradict other things, his blue, his polar coordination, you go airborne for a while, and depending on how much yellow AP you have when he lands, you'll deal a lot more damage based on that. It's so conditional, but it's going to be a lot of damage when it's boosted. His yellow, you basically get a choice. You can either have stronger protect tiles, or if it tries to steal your tiles and says, oh no, I just will buff them instead, the buffs on your special tiles will get, significantly bigger. And his magnetic inhibitor is going to pump out some bigger strike tiles, and the repeaters that it drops are going to deal more damage. And like I said, we wind up with Ronan. The countdown he drops on Judgment Call is going to deal more damage. I ran into that a couple of times when he was boosted last time, and I wasn't paying attention to the Judgment Call, and that cost me a PvP match. So be forewarned, that Judgment Call, if it goes off, if you let that countdown stick around, it can be deadly. Swift Hammer of Justice, you know, his red's going to deal more damage, although chances are you're going to have unboosted characters with a red power that deal better damage, or you're going to be running Killmonger. And finally, Uncompromising Power. It fires off, it deals a scaling damage based on the number of his repeaters. If you can get enough of those little repeater tiles on the board, it's a fairly good damage engine. All around, he does some decent damage. He's easily the second best 5-star up here. It's a little conditional, but man, he can, if you're not careful, he can hurt you. So yeah, there's some slim pickings on this list. But of course, Nightcrawler is boosted. So you're going to see, it's particularly in PvP, you're going to see a lot of opponents in the 4-star tier running him because there are so many combos that they can operate off of. I think you're going to see a lot of him coupled with unboosted America so that they can take advantage of her criticals. So if 5-star players run into Nightcrawler, your counter to that is Killmonger. Killmonger will... If the opponent makes a critical, we'll lock the critical tile, and the sheer amount of damage he's doing, especially because there's no AoE in his powers for the everywhere it wants to send Nightcrawler airborne.
Sure,
he'll do a pretty good job at one-shotting even a boosted Nightcrawler. In the 4-star tier, people are going to want to run Cyclops counter to Nightcrawler because Cyclops can try and take him out. But make sure that you take down Nightcrawler before you fire off your red with the extra team up AP, because you know he's going to fire that AoE and knock two people out. And Nightcrawler's just going to jump out of the way, and that's just extra turns while you're desperately trying to climb and get points before your shield. So yeah, it's not a great week. There are some advantages to these lists, but much like this segment sponsor, this boosted list leaves me mystified.
Nice segue.
So, listen to me now. believe me later, or not at all, but...
Seems clear to me. I'm going to use Killmonger until he's too injured, and then Ronan. And if I have to take on Immortal Hawk, well, maybe we'll see how well Electro's at that, reducing that AoE.
All right. Thanks, Samurai. Let's head on over to team-up time.
Synergy segment featuring Ray!
Yes! Thanks, me!
All right, so this week is from Heston Gixon. We've got a team-up with...
Five-star Gamora, Bagman, and Super Skrull.
You wish.
I do.
No, this week he's using... Well, I'd say it's some that we've used before, but he says Hydra Stomper has inspired him. The Green Goblin with Hydra Stomper and 4-star Captain Marvel. Synergy is fairly simple. Hydra Stomper creates a lot of countdown tiles, but they are commonly matched away before they can go off. So, you enlist Green Goblin's passive, which then fortifies your countdown tiles. Additionally, we've got Carol's passive that improves tiles when countdowns go off. So, when using Goblin's purple, make sure to pick either yellow for protect tiles or black for strike tiles, so that her passive has something to improve. As a second synergy, depending on your level in Green Goblin's black, it can do far more damage than Carol's black, so you can use it and then use her yellow to immediately trigger it, so it has no risk of being matched away. This can also be used to trigger any of Hydra Stomper's tiles early, and at max rank on Hydra Stomper's blue, if you accelerate a yellow countdown, you'll actually get AP back, because it costs 5 and returns 6. Depending on your level of Green Goblin, he would recommend 355, it depends on what your level of Green Goblin is, but he would recommend 355 on Carol, because you'll be using Goblin's Black, probably. Also a 355 on Stomper, and then whatever you've got on Goblin, if you do have him champed, probably 553 is the way to go. So I threw it together. I think it works fairly well, but give it a whirl. Let us know. And there you go. And as always, brought to you by Unify.
Awesome. Thanks, Ray. Mm. All right. Let's get opening. Let's go open some tokens. Let's see what I got. Just kidding. It's one. All right. Here we go. One latest legend token. A la me. It is Cloak and or Dagger, Child of Darkness.
Okay. How many are you opening?
I'm going to open one. I'm saving most of my tokens for tomorrow when Blob enters rotation, so I can go ahead and knock him out.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So, but I will go ahead and open my one. It's a 4-star. Oh, I think Craig was supposed to be opening tokens this segment. I got Azler Survivor.
All right. I have 5. Really kind of disappointed that I didn't get Electro champed. However, she's at the next best thing. She's at a 4-4-4, so any number of shards will get it for me, any random cover for her. So, but I do need to get some more covers for Odin. All right, number 1 is a 4-star. Jessica Drew, Seeking Redemption. Number 2, another 4. We've got a Kate Pryde, Safe Harbor. Number 3, hey, Nightcrawler. I hear he's boosted. Number 4, another 4, Misty Knight. And finally, all 4-stars. Cyclops, Uncanny Strategist. Well, I got 2 boosted characters.
Sweet.
Man, that's been a long sort of string of 4-stars for me. I'm due for a 5 here.
I feel like it. Next week, you'll be back on board. Well, thanks as always to this guy.
This guy.
All right. I'm going to take a quick second to talk about the podcast network, which is known as the soon-to-be-named network. It's available at soon-to-be-named-network.com. This and several other podcasts work together to bring you the best variety we can muster in podcasting. So you can check us out with this show and all the other shows on the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com. Does anybody else have anything before I start the outro?
I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Oh, I got some hero points. They went on sale for the anniversary, and yep. Goodness knows I decided I would put an end to this revival of the Dying on the Vine segment and just go ahead and get a couple hero points. So I did, and everything's back to the way it should be.
Nice.
For now. We'll see if that comes off the rails here anytime soon. But thanks, as always, for joining us. You can check out all of our stuff over at puzzlewarriors3.com. We're on any sort of audio streaming service, iTunes and Stitcher and anything Podomatic. If you want to check out the show, we raise funds with our Amazon banner over at puzzlewarriors3.com. Also, if you buy stuff at cafepress.com/puzzlewarriors3, you can theme some Puzzle Warrior 3 stuff to get yourself. So yeah, or you could go to Patreon and become a patron of the show and just throw money at Ray because you like us that much, which, while I still can't wrap my head around, I genuinely appreciate. So that's it. So goodbye for now. And remember, kids, I've got this haunted desk lamp. Ooh.
I don't know. Somehow that's funnier this time. All right. Good night.
Thanks and goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, friends.